Bloomsbury presents Monstrous Tales by Rosie Andrews, Jen Ashworth, Sonny Dean, Janice Hallett, Jane Johnson, Dan Jones, Abir Mukherjee, Rebecca Netley, and Stuart Turton.
Read by Kimberly Nixon.
Julie Hesmond-Halsh.
Ian Hanmore.
Oscar Kennedy with Janice Hallett.
Katherine Walker Booth.
Dan Jones.
Abir Mukherjee.
Arthur Darville.
And Ralph Ineson.
The Yellow Death by Rosie Andrews. Read by Kimberly Nixon. Mae'r hen dylunau genid gynt yn rhog ar gangau'r helig draw, a gwaedd y bechgyn lond y gwynt, a'i gwaed yn gymysg efo'r glaw. Hedd Wyn, Rhyfel. Christmas Eve, 1918. You're lucky, you know, with your father. They are walking in the old quarries above Craythin. Rhonda wheezes from the climb, but it doesn't stop her talking as she and Ellen ford a stream, swollen after the downpours of the last fortnight. The girls balance each careful step on the stones, breaching the misted surface, but the water is choppy and their boots are wet to the ankle. At least he came back, Rhonda says. You've got that. She hesitates before pressing the point. You can hold on to that. So many can't. Ellen, concentrating, doesn't answer. Undeterred, Rhonda says again, at least he came back. And after all, although it's not exactly the same because... She lets the thought fall away. Well, anyway, if my father had come back, everything would be different. Mam and I wouldn't be moving. I'd be going into the third with you and the others next year. Not the Cardiff, she adds glumly, observing her socks as more water sloshes over them. So you see, you are lucky, in some ways. You shouldn't talk it down, that's all. By now, Ellen has reached the other side of the ford, where she studies the map. West, then up round the quarry, then back down towards the church, a fog later, she reminds herself. This warning, issued by her mother before Ellen left at first light, is hard to believe. It's crisp and cold, the sky ribbons white and blue above the hills, a strong breeze, the only hint of rougher weather drifting over Anglesey towards Conwy Bay. I can hold that, offers Rhonda, nodding to the map. It's all right, says Ellen, quietly. I don't mind. I know, Ellen says. Let's get around the quarry and maybe... But having no actual intention of giving up the map, she leaves the sentence unfinished. Rhonda has moved on. Mam wants to visit with your mother. Everybody does. Do you think she'll be up to it soon? She comes to the final stone, obviously not paying attention because she slips and wobbles a moment, giving her companion time to offer a hand. As she puts her arm out, Ellen gains a sudden insight into what she really wants. To see Rhonda land, together with her questions in the cold, shallow stream. She thinks on this feeling as Rhonda says, we could come on Sunday, after church. Ellen tells herself she doesn't want Rhonda to get hurt. She only wants her to stop talking for that unbearable look with its needling combination of envy and martyrdom to be dispelled. No more than that. She helps her friend to the bank, avoiding her eyes. When both are on dry ground, Ellen peels back the leather of her right glove, exposing her wristwatch. The gloves are her mother's, good cape skin, but not completely suitable for a walk, being a bit too fancy, with deep yellow cowslip embroidery. Still, they're warm. That's all that matters. She worries about time. It's nearly 2 o'clock. Only a couple of hours of light left. It should be plenty of time to round the quarry and get down to St. Hilary's, but if the weather rolls in, it will get dark early, and then Rhonda will begin to insist they turn back. Ellen, quite determined to reach the church today, knows she will refuse. She's not going to tell Rhonda, but she has a spare map in her knapsack, as well as a handheld mirror for signalling, a mess tin containing sandwiches and apples, a compass, and right at the bottom, 2 pairs of rolled-up socks. She also knows, because she saw them when trying to find some space for a Macintosh, that Rhonda packed toffee, a Bible,